now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution, with your host, Michael B.
I am your host, Michael B., and this is The Truth Zone, coming to you live Tuesday morning, a little late. I'm sorry about that. Technical difficulties beyond my control. These cheap computers from China, they're great for about 6 months, you know? But heaven forbid you use them steadily and store some stuff and load some applications you need. Not so good. Of course, if you have antivirus, well, you're all set, even though you're not all set. And of course, that's how they make their money. They sell us a $300 laptop with nothing on it, inferior products, and then you have to go out, like, you know, Microsoft isn't on there, so if you want PowerPoint and all of that stuff, hey, it's $300 for the package. Right. So, and of course, the Norton virus protection, and you still get a virus. So, there was technical difficulties on that. So, yesterday, we got into Agenda 21 and Other World Affairs. We're talking about the population crisis. Let me preface it today by stating that just to keep population current, countries need to average 2.1 children per husband and wife. And yes, I'm going to use those terms. Those are the correct terms. We do not do the word speak, mind control pronouns. We're going to use the proper wording of husband and wife, mother and father. So, a country to sustain itself population wise needs 2.1 children. I told you yesterday that we in the Western world have fallen prey to materialism. We have to have the latest sedan, the luxury car. We have to have HBO and Showtime and all that stuff. Gotta have the latest iPhone. And our children, whoa, hey. Our children have to have the latest iPhones and tablets and all the other good stuff. And of course, you know, little Johnny just can't go to the park anymore and hang out with his friends, because after all, we have so many pedophiles and kidnappers, as if we've never had them before, right? We never had them before until 24-hour news showed up. Then, all of a sudden, these predators materialized, you know? So now, we have to get them into clubs. Soccer and football and baseball and all the other things. And well, that costs a lot of money. Speaking from experience, I know that it costs a lot of money. I also know that certain parents need to feel that they need to get themselves financially strapped just to keep little Johnny happy. Because after all, if his other little friends are in certain sports clubs or other recreational clubs, well, little Johnny has to be part of that too. And so, what if we have to put stuff on our credit card at 23% annually? So what? So what? And of course, little Johnny, he's got to have the latest spikes and the latest outfits and all the other good things that go with it. as he eats cardboard pizza and macaroni and cheese daily, but he's got to have the best clothes and the best shoes and got to be part of the club. We got to just keep spending that money because we have to buy our children's love in exchange for the lack of time that we can give them, because we have to work all of these hours to supply all of these things. Do you see the cycle? Now, in certain parts of the world, clubs and iPads and secret decoder rings and transponder watches, those things are built in those countries, but the people don't have them. They don't have those sorts of things. So they don't have the pressure of waiting to have a family, to be able to afford those things, to make little Johnny happy, which, again, is really guilt on the part of the parents and the brainwashing that you have to have all of these things in order to be happy. So people in other parts of the country, they're getting together. I'm sure most of them fall in love. They do the traditional family thing. And they start having babies very young. 3, 4, 5 to a family. And of course, they're downtrodden. And they're easily controllable. When somebody doesn't have money, and unfortunately, in this world of materialism, the fact that Satan is the ruler of this world on an earthly level, let me make that clear. You know, people talk about God is in control of everything, and Jesus is in control of everything, and it must have been Jesus that got Donald Trump elected. Not the fact that Hillary Clinton is a complete shrew, and the fact that, and I'm going to talk legally here, forget about the fact all of the allegations made against her and I guess her husband in name only, certainly. I mean, they got a marriage license, I imagine, so legally, they're married. I don't know if it's exactly a marriage made in heaven. Certainly, though, legally, in the eyes of the law, they're husband and wife. And so allegations range anywhere from embezzlement, evidence tampering, falsifying documents, rape, sexual violence, assault, that's the word, sexual assault, adultery, perjury, some 60 to 80 people mysteriously committing suicide or a strange death connected to the Clintons. Accepting foreign monies for a foundation, allegedly to help people. So, you know, those things didn't sway the American people. God made us vote for Donald Trump. Not the fact that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats have been trampling on we Christians. Or is it us Christians? I don't know. To the point where the evangelicals had no choice but to come out this time, like they did not do for John McCain or Mitt Romney, reached the point where it's do or die. They had to come out and vote this time. I mean, that had nothing to do with it. Or the fact that Hillary Clinton said, I'm going to destroy the coal industry once and for all, and I'm going to put coal miners out of work. And apparently, people in Pennsylvania and Ohio who didn't understand that message in 2008 and 2012, it finally resonated in 2016, and Hillary lost. But that wasn't it. See, here's the thing. God is not in control of our daily lives. Neither is Satan. If God was in control and manipulating events, well, that throws free will out the window. See, that takes away from the book of Job, where Satan, while he was still allowed into Jehovah Jireh's heavenly court, God asked him, so where have you been, Lucifer, Satan, whatever his name was at the time? Oh, just roaming about the earth, you know, checking it out. And so God said to him, have you seen my man Job? Do you see how he worships me? Do you see how he praises my name? And Satan said, well, like, yeah. He's got a good wife. He's got a bunch of good kids. He's the richest man in Mesopotamia. Of course he's praising your name. But if things went sour on him, he'd curse you to your face. So God thought about it, and he said, you know, Lucifer has a point. Okay, Lucifer, let's test Job's faith in me. You can mess with him, but you can't touch his body, and you can't kill him. But you can mess with what he has. So, disasters fell upon Job. Now, if God didn't allow that, Satan would have the point. You know, he's just kissing your butt because he's got everything. Just like children today with today's parents. They kiss their parents' asses as long as they're spoon-fed everything. But there's a difference between Job and today's children. Today's children will spit in your face. But Job held fast. And then Satan went back. There was another meeting. God asked Satan, where have you been? Well, I've been hanging out around the earth. God said, well, have you seen my man Job? Even after I let you smite his family and his belongings, he's still holding fast to his faith. Satan said, well, skin for skin, man. Let me hit him directly. So God said, well, all right. You can make him suffer, but you can't kill him. So Satan put boils on him, and his skin was ripping off, and it was just a mess. And Job held fast in faith. Satan threw him everything he had except death, but Job held his faith. And God rewarded him with even more than what he had previously. The moral of the story is that God has control of the outcome. He does not control elections. He doesn't control our finances. He controls the outcome. And if you hold fast to your faith, you will be rewarded at some point. Satan, on the other hand, he too does not control our daily lives unless we let him. See, if we turn ourselves over to Satan, since he is the ruler of this world, well then, hell yeah. Hell yeah. He'll directly intervene and he'll throw you some fortunes, but when he sees that he's basically done with you.
Scan has completed.
Sorry about that.
Universal driver updater has detected outdated drivers which need to be updated immediately.
This is great.
Update all to get the latest drivers.
See, this is your laptops, folks, right? So at any rate, so Satan, when he's done with you, like a vampire, he'll drain you and he'll just leave you a pile of pus. But we control our decisions to a point, right? I mean, there's no such thing as total control outside of suicide. I mean, if you really want to kill yourself, you can. And you could do it. Other than that, there are pieces and parts that you just can't control. Now, you can pray for help, and yeah, there might be. I could see there have been interventions before, absolutely, but not on a day-to-day basis. And I'm sorry, I don't think that God controlled this election. I think we the people did that. We the people have seen enough of the crap that's going on. And I know I've gone off the rails, but I'm trying to paint a picture here. We in the West have made a decision to follow the ruler of this world and engross ourselves in materialism. And we have allowed the amount of money in our bank account to rule our lives. And people at other parts of the world have no concept of that. And their populations are exploding. And again, when you are dirt broke, when you have nothing, in this world today, you cannot be autonomous as possible and sovereign. Your whole existence depends on someone else, and it happens to be a tyrannical government. And I'm talking about really all of Africa as a whole. And Western Europe, Asia, especially Japan, who's considered, let's say, free Asia, right? And the United States are grossly under the 2.1 sustainability. The New World Order, the globalists, have used that to convince the uninformed that we need to bring these poor refugees into our countries to bolster a dwindling labor force. I cannot begin to tell you how false that is. First of all, thanks to companies being able to outsource and distribute their jobs anywhere they want, there's no more on-the-job training. Who in my audience is not trapped in this vortex of, well, I've got the education, but I can't get the job because I don't have the experience. Your jobs are asking for 5 to 10 years experience, yet they're not willing to hire people to get that experience. So, you want a job, you want to break into this field that you've studied for, and that you've mastered educationally, but you can't get in because you don't have the experience. But how can you get the experience if you can't get in? And don't tell me these third worlders have the experience. Give me a break. But what they are is a cheap source of labor. And because countries like India that have no labor laws and protections whatsoever, major companies, I won't name them, let's just say one of them starts with a vowel and has two other consonants in their acronym, idiots breaking machines, and can work them like dogs and maximize profits. And why can they do that? Because the Indians are helpless. They have no protections. They live in dirt, and they're happy to get scraps. And the ones that make it to America, whoa, well, again, as I said yesterday, it's paradise on earth to them to live in what we might call squalor. So all of this is being, and you have to admit, it's being beautifully orchestrated. I mean, it's nefarious, it's disgusting, but if you look at the mechanics of it, you have to admit it's genius. It's an evil genius. There's a difference between being having wisdom and being cunning. Huge difference, and being clever. See, clever is like the ugly side of smart. When you're clever, there's a self-fulfilling motive and somebody gets hurt. That's what cleverness is. That's what cunning is. Somebody gets hurt and it's self-serving. So the globalists are extremely clever in their endeavor to make all of us poor and subservient. And the Western world, every country that continues to drop their birth rates under 2.1 are going to have a severe population crisis in the next 30 to 50 years. Whereas other populations are going to explode, and they're going to continue to spoon-feed us. I was reading articles over the weekend, preparing for this week, how, you know, certain websites like Slate are saying Italy and Germany can only survive if they bring in more Muslims to bolster the workforce. So let's get into that part. Their answer is bring in Muslims whose populations are exploding, and I'll show you that in a little bit, to keep up with labor demands. But interestingly enough, these people come to our countries and they don't contribute. Now, maybe the Chobani guy, he gets those people to contribute. Well, again, there is motive to teach people how to stuff yogurt into little plastic receptacles, I guess. But technologically, or in any other sector, these people come in, they form ghettos, they're on welfare, and they're breeding like rabbits. They're not a a plus to the country, they're a severe detriment. And report after report after report that these migrants that come here, for whatever reason, they procreate very angry children that by birth are now considered British and German and American. And they're being recruited both on the streets and via the internet to join the global jihad. And this is where I agree with President Trump that parts of the internet need to be shut down. Access to certain genres, if you will, and certain ports leading to other geographical areas need to be blocked. That's not censorship, folks. That's discernment. That's protecting the country from foreign and domestic invasion. That's the job of the federal government. And yet, we're led to believe that's censorship, but net neutrality is fairness for everyone, when really in disguise, it's a very small sector or a very small conglomerate, if you will. And of course, you know, the UN is at the top and they will decide the rules. And if you think that's going to be in your best interest for freedom of speech and expression on the internet, you're going to be having a rude awakening. If you haven't seen it already, Alex Jones has seen it, Paul Joseph Watson has seen it, and many others have seen what net neutrality really looks like. So, we need to be aware that we're being lied to about the population. Population on Earth is not exploding globally. It's exploding in a certain sector. Now, I want to play what 2020 is. Agenda 2030 is. I want you to listen to this. And then I'll conclude the show with giving you certain demographics and projections for the year 2050. So here's a breakdown of all of the 17 points of Agenda 2030 and what it means for us. Here we go with this clip.
Today is October 4, 2016. I just found a great article by Mike Adams of Natural News breaking down the Agenda 2030 program. Just a reminder as to what Agenda 2030 actually is. The Agenda 21 and 2030 programs are running simultaneously. One did not replace the other. Anytime your local city or county is implementing sustainability programs in the name of fighting climate change, that is the Agenda 21 program. Anytime a national government is implementing sustainability programs in the name of fighting climate change, that is the Agenda 2030 program. So Agenda 21 is local. Agenda 2030 is national. That's the difference between the two programs. So he says, in the interest of helping wake up humanity, I've decided to translate the 17 points of the 2030 agenda so that readers everywhere can understand what this document is really calling for. To perform this translation, you have to understand how globalists disguise their monopolistic agendas in feel-good language. Goal number one, end poverty in all its forms everywhere. Translation, put everyone on government welfare, food stamps, housing subsidies, and handouts that make them obedient slaves to global government. Never allow people upward mobility to help themselves. Instead,
this is exactly what I was explaining. A poor planet is a controllable planet. The goal is to make who's ever left after the soft kills a total subservient slave class to a one world government, which goes all the way back to King Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, as explained last week.
Teach mass victimization and obedience to a government that provides monthly allowance money for basic essentials like food and medicine, label it ending poverty. Now, I don't disagree with him here, but when I have talked about this, when I see ending poverty, to me that means ending people, because the best way to end poverty is to get rid of poor people. Goal number two, end hunger, achieve food security and improve nutrition, and promote sustainable agriculture. Translation, invade the entire planet with GMOs and Monsanto's patented seeds while increasing the use of deadly herbicides under the false claim of increased output of food crops, engineer genetically modified plants to boost specific vitamin chemicals while having no idea of the long-term consequences.
I just want to hold there before he goes, before he continues on the GMO thing, which I'm glad to see countries like Italy have woken up and have booted Monsanto out. Of course, Monsanto doesn't have the political influence in Italy as it does in America. But I want to talk about the government distribution of food and medicine. I don't think that Venezuela is in an environmental situation where food is short. Neither is Cuba. All right, Cuba and Venezuela are in really good spots. They've got their share of greenery, okay? So, there's no reason for their people to be hungry. They're hungry because the government has taken everything from them. Venezuela and Cuba, rich in resources, and Venezuela, the richest oil country in the world, has even more oil than Saudi Arabia. And yet their people are eating their pets to survive. It's the governments that create these shortages. Not to mention, when other countries, like the United States of America, that put sanctions on certain countries and not allowing trade, or all in the premise of human rights and liberty, as if these sanctions have stopped the Castros. I mean, the Castros have been in power for 60 years. I don't see them slowing down any. Venezuela is not a representative republic, and I'm not saying we have sanctions on them, but North Korea isn't a representative republic despite all the sanctions on them. They're not being our friends. So, countries like Venezuela, North Korea, and Cuba, not only do they have despots ravaging its citizens, but some of these other countries also have to deal with blockades and sanctions. And you don't see the fat guy in North Korea losing weight. I never saw the Castros looking thin. And you think The people at the high ups of the Venezuelan government, you think they're snacking on cat drumsticks or you know, cat spare ribs? Nope. The people are suffering. Not the despots, the people. Democide is the biggest cause of death. That is death by government. So, the idea of 2030 is to create a slave class. And the easiest way to do it is cut the populations of a free and sovereign people, explode the populations of people that live in dirt, and then move them to and fro like locusts to further destroy the countries of plenty. We continue.
Of genetic pollution or cross-species genetic experiments carried out openly in a fragile ecosystem. Goal number 3, ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all at all ages. Translation: mandate 100-plus vaccines for all children and adults at gunpoint, threatening parents with arrest and imprisonment if they refuse to cooperate. Push heavy medication use on children and teens while rolling out screening programs. Call mass medication prevention programs and claim they improve the health of citizens. Goal number 4, ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong opportunities for all. Translation: push a false history and a dumbed-down education under Common Core education standards that produce obedient workers rather than independent thinkers. Never let people learn real history, or else they might realize they don't want to repeat it. And I also want to add that you need to remember that Common Core is not just for America. It is intended to be an international agenda. Goal number 5, achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Translation: criminalize Christianity, marginalize heterosexuality, demonize males, and promote the LGBT agenda everywhere. The real goal is never equality.
You see, that's the key. That's another huge key. Turn men into women and turn women into men. So, think of a man and a woman at opposite ends of the spectrum. Flood the man with feminine qualities and say that's hip and cool. Flood the woman with masculine qualities and say that's cool. What happens is they start to merge into a central point. And there's your gender neutrality. And what happens? Procreation stops. See? And that's all part of the soft kill. See, they can't just openly come here and raid us with swords and trebuchets. That would be an outrage. No, they have to do it more cleverly. First, it was get us hooked on materialism, make us slaves to money and bells and whistles. Then the next phase is to get us to hate who we are. Oh, it's so terrible to be a white alpha male. Oh, it's so terrible to be a white traditional woman that wants to stay home and take care of her children, take care of her husband. You know, be the homemaker, be the nucleus of the family. Rely on the husband to go out and get. No, that's bad, you see. That's bad. See, you women, you're shorting yourselves and you're shorting other women. You're a disgrace. In the meantime, let me tell you what you women have won. Increased depression, increased suicide, increased anxiety, heart disease, cancer, and stroke. Congratulations. The average death rate, the gap, was much wider between men and women when I was a young man, when I was a kid growing up. That has now shrunk. Because women have inherited all of the worldly stresses in the name of success. And who has been the biggest casualty? Children. Mommy and daddy, they don't stay together anymore. The family is broken. And usually, all of the money that the husband and wife accumulated goes to the lawyers. And now, daddy has to go find another place to live, pay a separate rent, separate food, separate everything, and give money to mommy for the child. Mommy now, because what the daddy is giving isn't enough to sustain mommy and little Johnny, she has to go out and work because she's got separate bills now. And what happens to little Johnny? Little Johnny goes to after-school programs or sits home on the internet. And the internet becomes little Johnny's best friend, where he can explore things. Little Johnny only sees daddy every other weekend and a Tuesday night. Little Johnny gets to hear mommy talk bad about daddy and daddy talk bad about mommy. Little Johnny feels, who am I going to love the most? He's in a position of always choosing between mommy and daddy. And then little Johnny thinks it's normal. All of my friends don't have their daddies at home anymore. It's normal. So when I grow up, I'm going to do the same thing. Oh, it's not working out, you know. Took a shot. Oh, forget about the oaths we might have taken. Let's just divorce and I'll have a do-over next time. And people are divorced 2-3 times. So what? It used to just be in Hollywood. And believe me, folks, years ago, if you were a Hollywood actor, you were not worshipped as a god. You were looked down upon. An actor. You were looked down upon, dude. It was more virtuous to be a worker bee at IBM or a doctor or a lawyer than to be an actor or a nightclub owner. Now it's, you're bigger than God if you can do those things. And now casual divorce isn't just in Hollywood anymore. It's commonplace. It's Main Street USA. And so it's quite easy to revise history like this gentleman is talking about in this clip, because now it's coming from one source. See, stuff isn't being taught at home anymore. the new philosophy is let Johnny sit in his room and play on the computer. Send Johnny off to a club. And I'm so inundated with my own stuff because it's no longer two people on the team. It's a one-person team. And like it says in the Bible, a stick alone is easy to break. But a bundle of sticks stand strong. Hallelujah. And it's all part of the divide and conquer. I'm going to tell you what. And I'll use me as a personal reference. And then we'll continue with the clip. I would probably be a freaking millionaire right now if I had stuck with my first wife. First of all, I wouldn't have had to sell stock that I had back then. It would have grown. It would have matured. My house that I bought 21 years ago, I refinanced in year 3 or 4 to a 20-year mortgage. It would be done in the next 2 to 4 years, as I recall. Okay? So at like 55, I would have owned my New York house along the Hudson River, I'll leave it at that, paid up at 55. We would have had money in the bank. Our children would have grown up with their mother and father intact. As it is, I'm in Texas, my children are up north, and my daughter hasn't spoken to me in 12 years. After I left. You see how that works? And do you think, because I get little tidbits from my son, who I see once or twice a year, and who I hope one day will come down to Texas and be with me, I get little tidbits. Her male relationships aren't going too well. I know I'm ranting, going off course, but teleprompter free, and I don't read off of a script, and stuff goes into my head that I feel is important, and I thank you for bearing with me. So, things aren't going well for her in the romance department. Does it sound like a shock? Nope. My son's 28. He's angry at women. My daughter is going to be 27 October 1st, right around the corner. She's got anger issues with men. Both unmarried, no children. Most likely, I'm going to die without being a grandfather, and if my daughter has kids, I'll never see them. See, that's the whole divide and conquer. That's the entire gender war, because I have mixed with women that have their own agenda. Doesn't believe in the traditional family, and you get the fruits. See, this is what God doesn't control things. God doesn't smite us. God doesn't screw us. We screw us. He gave us the playbook. It's the Bible. We've chosen to not listen. There's a verse in Hebrews, I think I talked about it yesterday, that came on my phone. I get three sources of daily verses. And it's paraphrasing, naturally. Don't become enamored with the treasures of this world that will rust and that someone can just steal. Don't become enamored with the treasures of this world. And here's the trap. But people who have no shot at becoming enamored with the treasures of this world are breeding like rabbits and are being redistributed to crush the last vestiges of individual liberty, ladies and gentlemen. You have to understand that. You have to be aware. Let's continue with the clip.
But rather the marginalization and shaming of anyone who expresses any male characteristics whatsoever. The ultimate goal is to feminize society, creating widespread acceptance of gentle obedience, along with a self-weakening idea of communal property and sharing everything.
And let me just make this clear. He's talking about the classical characteristics of being a man are under attack. Let me make myself clear. I am an Italian by descent. That's where my forefathers came from. I'm a second generation American, white, alpha male, and I'm freaking proud of it. I've been called caveman. I've been called archaic. I've been called, you're not evolving like the rest of the world. You damn right. And I wear those insults as a badge of honor. You better believe it. I'm the classical alpha male. I'm loud. I'm strong. I'm traditional. I love women. I love the sense of family. I've got integrity. I've got high moral fiber. You bet. I'm a Christian, white, alpha male. You bet. And I wear those labels that have been pressed upon me by the evolutionaries with a badge of freaking honor. And I'll go further to say, I thank Jesus Christ that I have not succumbed to the false promises and the false counterfeit treasures of the ruler of this world, Lucifer, Satan, the father of the lie, the original rebel and the original resistor, the enemy. The enemy. Not just to God, but to mankind himself. I am proud and I am grateful that I am the classical black and white movie, traditional alpha male. And guess what? I love it. I am so grateful to God and Jesus Christ that I have not been blue-pilled. I have to be in the world, but I will not be part of this world. I will not succumb. I will not bow down. And I will not sell out where Jesus Christ has allowed me to be. We continue.
Because only male energy has the strength to rise up against oppression and fight for human rights. The suppression of male energy is key to keeping the population in a state of eternal acquiescence. Goal number 6, ensure availability and sustainable...
I just want to grab that for a second. I have to. Because he makes a great point. You know, atheists or enemies of Christ who believe in something always likes to damn Christianity with Hebrew Old Testament scriptures. One that has been used many times is that our God enslaved women after they've been sexually assaulted. And that, excuse me, God was very oppressive to women. Let me draw the picture here, folks. The pagan gods of Babylon and Egypt, and then later on to be discovered, Hinduism and India. And I'm going to talk about India and their caste society and how it relates to their religion. I'm going to get to that. When a woman was sexually assaulted back in Old Testament times, she was no longer able to marry. She was basically worthless. And many times, they would be killed off if they couldn't be sold as a maidservant. Jehovah gave Moses a law that if a man defiles a virgin, not only is he to treat her now as his wife and provide for her for life, he had to, as memory recalls, pay some kind of a compensation to the father. In the matriarchal paganism, Babylonian, where goddesses were worshipped, yeah, female entities, women were just cast off as worthless. Do you understand how liberal that was? That a law was created that a woman was not to be discarded as trash, but to be given wife status, and then the father also being compensated. Do you understand how forward thinking that was 3,500 years ago? That was unprecedented. And Judaism was the beginning of the patriarchal age, the age of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Julia and Alice. Do you understand that? So what this young man is saying, that it's the male energy that fights for liberty and freedom and stands up to oppression. There you go. And I gave you a biblical reference. A biblical reference to that. We continue.
Management of water and sanitation for all. Translation: allow powerful corporations to seize control of the world's water supplies and charge monopoly prices to build new water delivery infrastructure that ensures availability. Goal number 7. Ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. Translation: penalize coal, gas, and oil while pushing doomed-to-fail green energy subsidies to brain-dead startups headed by friends of the White House who all go bankrupt in 5 years or less. Or as I say, eliminate electricity so that we are all consistently in the dark for long periods of time. Goal number 8, promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all. Translation: regulate small business out of existence with government-mandated minimum wages that bankrupt entire sectors of the economy. Force employers to meet hiring quotas of LGBT workers while mandating wage tiers under a centrally planned work economy dictated by the government. Destroy free market economics and deny permits and licenses to those companies that don't obey government dictates. Goal number 9, build resilient infrastructure, promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization, and foster innovation. Translation: put nations into extreme debt with the World Bank, spending debt money to hire corrupt American corporations to build large-scale infrastructure projects that trap developing nations in an endless spiral of debt. Goal number 10, reduce inequality within and among countries. Translation: punish the rich, the entrepreneurs, and the innovators, confiscating nearly all gains by those who choose to work and excel. Redistribute the confiscated wealth to the masses of non-working human parasites that feed off a productive economy while contributing nothing to it, all while screaming about equality. Goal number 11, make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. Translation, ban all gun ownership by private citizens, concentrating guns into the hands of obedient government enforcers who rule over an unarmed, enslaved class of impoverished workers. Criminalize living in most rural areas by instituting Hunger Games-style protected areas, which the government will claim are owned by the people, even though no people are allowed to live there. Force all humans into densely packed, tightly controlled cities where they are under 24/7 surveillance and subject to easy manipulation by the government. And this right here is more or less the end-all, be-all of this entire...
And by the way, I just want to cut in real quick. Talking about shoving us into inner cities and packing us into little apartments. I believe this reality show, Tiny House Business, is setting us up for that. I'm sure, well, some of you may have seen the show where the person wants to downsize themselves. And they're usually single, I want to say it, effeminate men that have no families, by the way. And they make these cute little houses, 200 to 300 square feet. Oh, look at the storage I have. Isn't it beautiful? That's to groom us into liking not having property, not having a nice home, not having 2 or 3 children. And you don't have to have a big house, but you need somewhat of a spacious apartment. But no, see, they want to groom us. They want us liking these tiny little houses and thinking they're so cute. And then move us on to little bitty apartments, and we'll accept that as the new cool.
Their agenda, human settlements, sustainable, inclusive, forcing everyone into dense cities where everything is tightly managed and controlled. Goal number 12. Ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. Translation, begin levying punitive taxes on the consumption of fossil fuels and electricity, forcing people to live under conditions of worsening standards of living that increasingly resemble third world conditions. Use social influence campaigns in TV, movies, and social media to shame people who use gasoline, water, or electricity, establishing a social construct of ninnies and tattlers who rat out their neighbors in exchange for food credit rewards. Goal number 13, take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. Translation, set energy consumption quotas on each human being and start punishing or even criminalizing lifestyle decisions that exceed energy usage limits set by governments, and this is the purpose of smart meters. Institute total surveillance of individuals in order to track and calculate their energy consumption. Penalize private vehicle ownership and force the masses onto public transit where TSA grunts and facial recognition cameras can monitor and record the movement of every person in society, like a scene ripped right out of Minority Report. And this has been the general theme of my channel lately, this whole idea of getting you out of your car, onto the bus, where TSA can grope and molest you for your safety. Goal number 14, conserve and sustainably use the oceans, seas, and marine resources for sustainable development. Translation, ban most ocean fishing, plunging the food supply into an extreme shortage and causing runaway food price inflation that puts even more people into economic desperation. Criminalize the operation of private fishing vessels and place all ocean fishing operations under the control of government central planning. Only allow favored corporations to conduct ocean fishing operations and make this decision based entirely on which corporations give the most campaign contributions to corrupt lawmakers. Goal number 15, protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainably manage forests, combat desertification, and halt and reverse land degradation and halt biodiversity loss. Translation, roll out Agenda 21 and force humans off the land and into controlled cities. Criminalize private land ownership, including ranches and agricultural tracts. Tightly control all agriculture through a corporate, corrupted government bureaucracy whose policies are determined almost entirely by Monsanto while being rubber-stamped by the USDA. Ban wood stoves, rainwater collection, and home gardening in order to criminalize self-reliance and force total dependence on government. Goal number 16, promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development, provide access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. Translation, grant legal immunity to illegal aliens and protected minority groups, which will be free to engage in any illegal activity, including openly calling for the mass murder of police officers because they are the new protected class in society. Inclusive institutions means granting favorable tax structures and government grants to corporations that hire LGBT workers or whatever groups are currently in favor with the central planners in government, use the IRS and other federal agencies to selectively punish unfavorable groups with punitive audits and regulatory harassment, all while ignoring the criminal activities of favored corporations that are friends of the political elite. Goal number 17, strengthen the means of implementation and revitalize the Global Partnership for Sustainable Development. Translation, enact global trade mandates that override national laws while granting unrestricted imperialism powers to companies like Monsanto, Dow Chemical, RJ Reynolds, Coca-Cola, and Merck, pass global trade pacts that bypass a nation's lawmakers and override intellectual property laws to make sure the world's most powerful corporations maintain total monopolies over drugs, seeds, chemicals, and technology, nullify national laws and demand total global obedience to trade agreements authored by powerful corporations and rubber stamped by the UN. So, to the layperson, what I just read sounds really far-fetched, but it's not if you have been paying attention. All we hear all day long is about being sustainable, being inclusive, while at the same time, if you have a certain skin color, it's okay for everyone else to be racist towards you. They are trying to ban guns. Wood stoves and home gardening are being banned in certain parts of the country. They're trying to get us out of our cars and onto transit. The TSA is being expanded. They're building the cities and making it harder to live on rural land. And if you don't believe anything I just said, there are actually protected classes.
So when do you feel like you're exposed to this kind of attack on your at-large voting? First, you have to have identifiable in your community a significant minority group that's recognized as a protected class under state and federal law. So in Rancho Cucamonga, the protected class is Latino, and it's been identified as constituting somewhere over 35% of the population of the city of Rancho Cucamonga.
So there you have the breakdown, folks, of Agenda 2030. And just want to share with you before we conclude the show, and then I'm gonna talk about this website. This is a great website. I'll put it on Facebook eventually. It gives all of the countries and the projections, as discussed, the biggest amount of terrorism and, let's say, civil disorder in Europe and America seem to becoming from Somalian migrants. So let me just grab, it's hard because you have to go along this wheel. Just give me a couple seconds here. Okay. The year 2014. 10.8 million people lived in Somalia. Projection for the year 2050. Somalia will have a population of 27.1 million people. Do you understand? It's almost triple. Triple. Do you not see a storm coming? My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Time.